How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings, greetings, welcome and hello from the snowy mountaintop mountains of Camp Kuia. Stop breathing in the microphone, Lou. He can't talk. I punched him in the throat just before he went on the air. That's why there was that dead space. He was getting lippy to mom, so I dropped him. Can you say anything? Can you talk?
No.
Always got to have your guard up and ready to go, Lou. You never know what's going to happen. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Camp Kuia in central, snowy central California. Well, the valley's flooding. We're snowy and cold. We had 70-degree weather last week, and now it is snowing. I can see 1,000 feet above us at the 2,000-foot level. It's a blizzard going on. Actually, the sun just came out here. I see a little bit of blue sky at 1,000 foot here. Yeah, it's kind of blue out there, and the rain had stopped. We got over an inch and a half of rain yesterday and last night. Much-needed rain. It's good. It's great. Make the soil nice and soft when we start to do the planting. Sorry we weren't with you on Friday. We were just too much stuff getting ready for training on the weekend. I had over 30 students come in for basically battlefield triage. We call it disaster. What were we calling it? Well, no, what did we call it, though? What's the official term? I forgot. Just triage. Disaster triage, I guess. And for the second part of the two-part class, there's probably going to be a three and a fourth part because we're having to take it really slow. Right now, we're just at the point of the head-to-toe assessment, checking the back and front, and treating certain wounds that are located. But we're getting everybody's 100% better than they were last time in this class, and so it was worth the effort. So I apologize. I didn't do a show Friday because it was just taking my time to make sure everything was right. And all those that participated, I know we've picked up a few more listeners from the people that came up from the Valley to take the class because we're offering that one for free. So, of course, those are the ones we charge for. We get like 15, 16 people. The ones we do for free, we get 30 to 40 people. But that's about the max. I can't handle any more than 30 or 40 by myself. We really got to get somebody sent out and trained in this CERT program so they can be an assistant or a lead trainer in their little different sections. The fire truck's supposed to be here this week. They asked for some paperwork last week. Pastor gave it to them, so it's going to be cool. We're looking forward to that, and we continue to move on, and we will use whatever resources out there. I got some people going, I can't believe you're getting a fire truck from the government for free, and you're using FEMA stuff for free. Hey, I will use whatever it takes to make sure that my community, my church community, my family will survive. So it's just being wise in using what may or may not be your enemy, depending on where you're standing. So it's exciting stuff. And we may have sent an offshoot of a Visalia team now because there was a whole family here that came up from Visalia. And I said, you know, that's really good. And the guy goes, well, I can have 20 people up here for the next training. I said, well, I can't train 60 people. So unless you're willing to go become an instructor, you got to go all the way up to Sacramento to become an instructor, then, you know, I can't do it. But here's what I'm going to do. You keep coming here, you become an instructor, and you start your own team down there in Visalia. Three or four families put together that we've got to keep spawning more and more groups, more cells, more just like Patriots. It's no different. In fact, we should have given them a copy of the audiobook of Patriots or something. We sent them away with some things, and that was good. I don't know what class of fire truck it is. It's just some kind of engine. It's a fire engine, to be more specific. It's not a ladder truck. It's a pumper. And I don't know if we're going to get all the hoses or anything like that. So that's, we're just glad to have it. Although we got a call back from an old friend, and I know you're listening. He's not an old friend, really. He's an enemy, as far as I'm concerned. And he's all excited now that we're getting a fire engine. You're not welcome. I'm not going to train you. You show up here. You know who you are. We don't train Nazis. We don't train racists. I will train heathens and atheists because they can be converted, but you can't be saved by my training. I'm not going to do it. God can save you, but it's not a path here. We don't need you here. So yeah, I know what you're thinking. I know. Hey, I can get in there. I can spend some money and buy him some stuff. We don't want it. I'd rather take money from the federal government, a fire engine from the federal government, or excuse me, state government, and gear from the federal government than let anybody come in here and taint it. So we have to. Yeah, it's, Swanson says if they're offering it, take it. But I'm not going to fellowship with disgusting, evil, vile people. So don't even think about it. You know who you are. You've got to be listening, or else you wouldn't have known we got the fire truck. Because nobody else up here talks to you that I know of. And if there is somebody talking to you, we're going to find them. That's all I'm going to say about that. Because you're not welcome here. Let's see what other cool stuff's going on. The training was good. Future training. If you're serious about taking the 20th training, and you haven't already made that evident, Minuteman, I think, is the only one from the group on here. The what's the word I'm looking for here? The split-second survival training, you've got to let me know here in the next few days because we're going to send the roster off, and you got to make sure you make the commitment. So class 3 and 5 and 6 are for wildland fires, and 1 and 2 are for cities. Yeah, I know that. I've done a lot of work around fire engines. I like four-wheel drive ones. We're probably going to get, it's probably a class 1 or 2 fire engine. I'm answering questions out of time. We're out of sync here. There must be a lag. So, but the training for split-second survival is May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can come camp up here. You can sleep on the floor, in the church, whatever it takes. You've got to get this training. I can't stress it enough, but you've got to send me an email to dutch@dutchjones.info, and it's $150 for 2.5-3 days. You're going to have to bring bologna sandwiches, whatever it takes. You've got to be in on this training. We won't be able to offer it again for a long time. It's hard to get 25 students together that are paying to do it. April 9th will be our next Code 20 training. It's going to be airsoft training. We're not going to be on the shooting range until after all the training's done. We're going to do the same exact things that I've shared with you about clearing buildings, entering buildings, how to deal with training your family to respond to an intruder in the house. Those types of things, we're going to use airsoft. And that is April 9. That is a Saturday. Starts at 10 a.m. Please email me again if you intend on coming. It is $100 for the day's class, but it's well worth it. And then the classroom is going to be on the E from SMEAC. It's going to be on execution. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's going to be taking everything that you've gathered, your intelligence, your materials, your people, and using them in a cell warfare tabletop training scenario. You're going to talk through it, so it'll be good. Does the money need to be in by April 20th? Yes. Yeah, if we could get the money by April 20th for your friend. I forgot about your friend, actually. So that actually moves us one closer. That makes us 19 now. So we're at 19, so that means we need at least 6 more people to make this a go. And I just sent an email off to him and told him I'm going to be able to do it. Because I've got some people from our Code 20 training that want to do it. So if you've got a friend, let us know. Yeah. That's for SSS, split-second survival. And you can just have them email it have your friend mail it to the pastor and just put on their church at Kaweah and then write a note in there, a check, that is for split-second survival. Kind of like, you're the only one that's paid, Minuteman. Everybody else is sitting back. In fact, we don't even have the money for it yet. We're praying that Well, Lou does. Lou's been saving it up. Yeah, Lou's been saving up and working. We're going to have some weed eating coming up here in the next week. We got another weed eater that came in Saturday. I got to go get it. And Lou and I are going to be out for $20 an hour weed eating, and that's how we're going to pay for Stacy and I to take the class. so I'll raise enough money that way. Funds are always hard to raise, I know. But the training, it's worth it. We're going to do... I'm offering free training to people all the time, but it's, you know, and we get a good response to it. But there's got to be a balance. We can't do everything for free, because if we bring in an instructor from Alaska, you know, it's going to cost. And we're going to do more. I'm going to start opening up as spring hits. Stacy thought today was the first day of spring. I don't know. Did anybody in the chat room know? I don't have a calendar that has it on it. Because today is what? The 21st of March, 2011. I didn't say that at the beginning. But I can't read the small print to see when the first day of spring is. But there's nothing on today. But starting with actual spring here, when it's nice out, we're going to start offering field days on Saturdays. There's not going to be a charge for it. But you come up here on a Saturday and camp with us. Come up on a Friday night. We have some people that have offered to come up on Friday nights. We're going to camp out. Minuteman's been to a couple of them. We did them last, it was last summer, wasn't it, Minuteman? Boy, time just, it twists in my memory. I can't remember anything. We'll do field days, we'll do training days, and we'll just slowly get ready to accept more and more people. It's our way of doing an outreach here, and we ask you to stay over for Sunday for church with us, so that we can deal with your physical training as well as your spiritual training. Pastor had an awesome sermon yesterday. Don't forget, Pastor will be up Thursday night for Practical Christianity. He gave this awesome sermon on the possibilities of what happened to the, I almost said Grail, the Ark of the Covenant when it was when Jerusalem fell and Solomon's Temple was attacked, and there was some architectural things that he found. There's nothing that we know that's really true, because the Bible doesn't really expound upon it. They just say they got everything but the Ark of the Covenant, and it was snuck out somehow. So that was pretty cool. So people are saying yesterday must have been the first day of spring. Swanson's saying he thinks it was yesterday's days. I could have Googled it, but we don't know. But it doesn't seem like the first day of spring here. It's snowing, and it's freezing, and we're going through fire. I actually said, oh, we don't need to chop any more firewood. We're done. It's been 70 degrees for like 2 weeks in a row. So, but good sermon there. Wednesday nights, don't forget to you can download the sermons from the archives that he does on Thursdays. The sermons that he does on Sundays by just going to the church's website. You can get that off at dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. Dutch Jones. Yeah, we had Indiana Jones. He took a clip from Indiana Jones where they were talking about how powerful the Ark was. And I was like, this is kind of weird. And then he comes out, he goes, Hollywood just made this up. The Ark has no power at all. Doesn't matter if the Ten Commandments are in there. What the power of the Ark was is at a time in history, the Lord would use it to talk to Solomon and the other priests in the temple. He would, and the reason he went into the construction of it, how the gold wings were to kind of shield some of the essence of God, of the cherubim that reached up onto one side of it. And he also showed, you know, they said in the movie that whatever army carries the Ark will be undefeated. And then he went through the Bible and showed where the Hebrews got defeated outright, and they had the Ark and they lost it. So the Ark itself is just a box made of gold, and there's some carved tablets in it wherever it is. You know, it's almost become idol worship among, you know, the sword of destiny, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail. I seek the Grail. You know, but sure, it'd be neat to see those kind of things, but they don't have any power. The power's in the blood of Christ. The power's in our Almighty Lord, you know, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. there's no power in it. If you were to find the Ark today, it'd be, I bet you could even touch it and it wouldn't kill you, because the God doesn't dwell in the tabernacle or in the temple anymore. So it's an interesting thing. So he did a really good thing on it. He brought out, that was before they had ham radio, so he had to use the Ark to communicate with God. But now, you know, we're the tabernacle, we're the temple, and Jesus Christ dwells in us, so we don't need an Ark. You know, everybody can communicate with God, and we don't get our faces melted off like a bunch of Nazis if we try to open it. But that was Hollywood, and he also showed a guy from the Prophecy Club who had an interesting take on it, on how they smuggled it out. It had to do, what was that guy's name?
Michael Rood.
Michael Rood, R-O-O-D. Mm-hmm. Michael Rood, that's all over YouTube, you can see it. He talks about how there was sand hydraulics, and very, very interesting. Very interesting stuff, and it ended up becoming a discussion on how important it is to hide things. And, you know, we may have to be doing that now with all the new gun laws and things that are coming down. Hillary's talking about now positively thinking about signing the UN Arms Treaty. They're going to make it harder to get a gun. So now's the time to start thinking about stashing stuff. So I think that's why the pastor taught on that, because then he brought that up into the sermon. And it was very, 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 very good. Very good. So I highly encourage you to look up Michael Rood, R-O-O-D. But you can get the sermon and the excerpts were played from it by going to thechurchatkuia.org. Thechurchatkuia, that's K-A-W-E-A-H.org. And then you go to the bottom of the page. It's not up yet. Lou doesn't have
it yesterday.
It'll be up after tomorrow. Yeah. So let's say Wednesday it'll be available. Because tomorrow we're going to go down to the in-laws. It's Grandma's birthday. So we're going to be down there for one day only, and then come back here on Wednesday. But tomorrow, Tuesday, of course, will be Steve Klein Day with Code 20. And if it works out well, if we get the logistics down here, he is going to be talking to us live from a protest in a city down there where Muslims are going to show up. I can't remember the city. He's going to call in at 6 o'clock today to let us give some more info. But tomorrow he's going to be live protesting Muslims on his cell phone, talking to us while he's protesting Muslims. 800 Muslims are threatening to show up at this city hall down in L.A. somewhere where the city council members, one or two of them, have spoken out against Sharia law. So they put this call out, hey, you can't talk about us, you can't bring that up. You know, they want to pass some ordinance in the town that they will never, ever allow Sharia law. We've been seeing that happening across the country. We'll only follow, you know, the laws of the United States and the state of California and whatever. And so he's going to be in the middle of it. He's only got 14 to 15 guys, so he's going to give out information. If you're in L.A. and you're free tomorrow around 6 p.m., where I can't remember what city he's talking about. I think it's Garden Grove or Yorba Linda something. Don't take my word on it. He's going to call in at about 6:05 and give us a rundown. He needs boots on the ground for this protest. He says he's sick and tired of having 15 Christians go up against 800 Muslims. And we were talking on the phone. I said, what is with the Christians in America that they won't come out for this? They're just lazy. They're fat. They're ignorant. They're scared. But the Muslims pick up the phone. Their phone tree goes. The next day they get 800 to 1,000 people at a protest over something, you know, like that. It shows just how undedicated the American Christian is. And I've got all kind of, you know, I could talk all day about it. I just saw an article that 5 Turkish military officers were arrested for murdering 3 Christians at a Bible publishing facility in Turkey. They went into the business, these 5 military officers and about 15 civilians, to trash the Bible printing facility. And they slit the throats of the German owner and 2 Turkish Christians. Right now in Turkey, Christians only make up 1% of the population. 1%. They've been run out, butchered. We know around the turn of the century, the Turks killed all the Armenian Christians and the Coptic Christians. And if you don't remember, we went to a Muslim meeting here a few months ago, and I specifically asked him about the Turkish slaughter of Christians, and he said that wasn't true, that Muslims aren't involved in that. So we've got to stand up to them here and now. They're less than 3% of the population. When they get up to the 20 and 25% of the population, because they breed like rabbits, just like most third world groups, we won't have the right to stand up anymore. We won't have the ability to stand up. I really believe that. Now is the time to confront them and let them know that we're going to beat our chest and scream at them just as much and stand for righteousness and for American law and for God's law. And so I encourage you guys that when he does come on, that you take a chance and if you know make a sacrifice and go down there with him. I've been to several in-your-face protests, starting Minuteman. I mean, all the way back, long before I was really a Christian, I would show up at stuff and I would let my voice be known. When I was a teenager, I protested the CIA recruiting on our college campus. I protested Nazi skinhead bands being allowed to play in civic auditoriums and protest. I got my leg broken at that because I refused to stand down. Although a skinhead broke my leg, it was really the Boulder police that were the problem. They were beating up on everybody. But I've always stood up for what I believe in. Gotten my lumps on my head, torn ligaments in my knee, fat lip here and there. But you got to do it. And once you've done a few of them, that fear starts to go away. And you know, if you're with well-trained people and you do it smart, you go in, you reconnoiter, you find the exits, you make sure the police know that you're peaceful, you got to do it. I was in Day Without a Mexican. 3,000 patriots against, they claim, 500,000 illegal aliens. We saved a female cop that went down. I got hit with bottles of soda. I got hit with rocks. We had 2x4s with signs on them. That's the only weapons we had. And we fought back. And we didn't take any guff from them. We didn't give any ground. We've got to start standing up for what's right as a people. And I don't know what it is about Americans. They've been. Can you turn that completely down? I'm hearing Mark Kornke's kind of confusing me. We're running Mark Kornke right now on 93.3 FM, Vice Gerent Radio. And real soon we're going to be simulcast, and we're going to move things around a little bit where this show will be live, too, on 93.3. I'm working on curbing my tongue. I'm working on curbing my tongue. Can you turn them off, or are they just... There you go. So we've got it. We've got to start challenging other Christians, other militia members, other Minutemen, other patriots. You can't do this in a vacuum. Remember the pastor last Thursday talking about the Christian sin, the sin of inaction, a sin of omission by not taking action? Well, that's what this is all about. Not training, not fellowshipping, not going into the city gates and standing in the gap and protesting is a sin. I don't care where you go through the Bible. Nowhere in there does it tell you to sit on your hands and put your candle under a bushel. You send me a verse that says you're supposed to just shut up and run away when evil comes knocking at the door. Yeah, when Armageddon comes, you're supposed to run to the hills. That's a different scenario. But when other human beings, not God's wrath, when other human beings do evil, you have a duty to act. And we as a people, European Anglo-Christianity has just bred that out of our psyche. It's just like, oh no, I can't get involved. But yet we thrill and cheer when we get involved in the next topic I'm going to talk about. And there's this thing with Libya. I can't believe how many people are going, yeah, that's great, we're bombing Gaddafi. Where do we get a right? Where in our Constitution? He didn't even go to Congress. He just, oh, okay, Europe, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. Okay, UN sanctions. He's completely given up our sovereignty and is using our weapons and our personnel to bomb a nation that we shouldn't even be involved in. Now, I don't like Gaddafi. When that Pan Am flight went down over Lockerbie, when Achille Lauro went down and all those things he was backing, we should have killed him then. Reagan should have invaded and destroyed him then when he was killing Americans. But he didn't. So he gave up the legal right to do it. He did. So what gives Obongo the right? He didn't even want to do it. He's just saying, well, we're not the primary on this. I'm just taking the lead from the UN. And who are we defending on the ground? We don't even know who these protesters are. We have no idea who these protesters are. But yet, we're going to risk American airmen's lives. We're going to send million-dollar missiles in to kill God knows who. I guarantee you civilians are dying because of your tax dollars. Civilians are dying. I don't care what weapon they have. They cannot guarantee zero collateral damage. And if I know Gaddafi, he's putting civilians in all those positions. He's using human shields. And you're probably saying, oh, well, I don't care. They're Muslims. If they're women and children, I care. We're to protect innocent blood as Christian soldiers. So your government, in your name, is bowing down to European leaders and corporations, because it's all about the oil there, and killing people in a nation we have no business being in. We gave up that right when we didn't pursue him and kill him with extreme prejudice when he was doing terrorism. We bombed him, we killed some of his kids, I think one wife, and he stopped being a terrorist against us. 2 months ago, he came on the world scene and said, look, I'm done leading this country. I'm in 81, 82 years old, whatever it is. I want to step down. He even said, my sons are not qualified to run this nation. And I do not want my legacy being that I turn this nation over to Islamic radicals. I do not want the Islamic Brotherhood. I do not want the Taliban in here. And they stayed out of there because he was vicious to them. He wouldn't let them in. He kept his nose clean after we bombed his house. And now suddenly they want to slaughter him. And they're going to put comfort and aid into the hands of what I believe is going to be a much worse dictator. I don't understand. I don't know. I'm seeing all the, oh yeah, let's bomb Libya, let's bomb Tunisia. I mean, look at all the countries now that are falling. It's exactly like Lindsay Williams said. The New World Order was going to betray their Arab leaders. 3 months ago, Mubarak was our favorite stepchild. He kept peace with Israel. He didn't, you know, he was doing fine. Now, you know, it's good he's gone. And they had an election, and they're all cheering the rebels. Bahrain. All the countries over there. Syria, they're protesting now. So are we going to go bomb the Syrian queen or whatever, whoever they have over there? I think it's a queen in Syria. And they have the nerve, like they do in every war. What do they always say? It'll be over in a few days. Obongo said that. From, and where is he? And Stacy pointed this out to me yesterday. Every time they take a military action, he's out of the country. Every time they pass some ridiculous law, Obongo's out of the country. Why is that, do you think? Are they know we're at the tipping point and they're afraid to see what's going to happen, so let's have them out of the area? I don't know. Because quite honestly, and I hope you government officials that listen to us, because we know you do, killing Obongo wouldn't solve anything. And people who say that kind of stuff are just idiots. Cutting the head off this snake will do nothing, because he's not the head. The head are the elite corporate bankers. Obongo's just a puppet. Taking him out of, voting him out of office, killing him, kidnapping him, would do nothing. They would the next guy's in. I said today I was talking to the Southern California Martial Law Alerts folks, Kim and Carrie. I always forget their names. It's the ladies from the coast who do Southern California Martial Law Alerts. I encourage you to look it up. In fact, I may post the Facebook page in there. I don't know if you guys do Facebook. I don't know if any of you do. I use it for intel gathering and communications. Let me post it in there. Here we go. But Control V. You know, there's stupid people, you know, just saying stuff like, oh, it's great, we're bombing him. And they're trying to tell him, look, he's not in charge. It's the bankers. And you know how I feel. The Muslims are just a puzzle in the piece, or a piece in the puzzle. Part of the puzzle. And if we get rid of the Muslims, that's not going to stop the New World Order. If we get rid of the New World Order, that's not going to stop the Muslims. It's the corporate people at the top, the bankers that are controlling everything. I mean, they're still manipulating and squeezing. Food prices went up 6% this month. Housing sales are down 9.4%. Inflation's up. They're arresting people. There was a guy, and I got the article somewhere, and I'll talk about it in the next half hour, who was coining Liberty coins and using them since like 95. They finally arrested him and sent him to prison and called him a terrorist. Folks, we'll be back after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Camp Kawia. I am Dutch Jones, the host of the moment. There will be other hosts, hopefully, to take my place when I fall or can't do it anymore. And I hope maybe one of you listening. Make sure you check out DutchJones.info. We're still at zero for our donations. And we've got to keep paying stuff. The electric bill's a little higher than usual, I think, because of the cold. But we need your help to keep this radio station on the air. We'll be back after the break. And remember, you can call in. I'll give the phone number out when we come back.
Since our eyes were first opened and our ears began to hear, they've been herding us like cattle through our fantasies and fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines. It's the news behind the news and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. They'll tell you it's a forgery, they'll tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same who staked the claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, because it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Yeah.
in Germany, though it's not an anti-Jewish publication. So if you ever get a chance to get a copy of your own, just remember not to ever leave it lying around your home. Cause you never know just where their snoopy news reporters roam. That might even be a friend or close relation. It's the cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. It's the source of communism. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Learned elders of Zion. Go ahead and wail at that wall.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
And we're back. Oh, I like this one. What's this one called, Lou?
Come of Age.
Come of Age. You're listening to the voice of Camp Kahwea, Stronghold Radio, coming to you live from Central California, here in the foothills, right outside Sequoia National Park, bringing you a militant Christian, well-informed, non-ignorant, not sitting on your hands world view. We don't sit back and wait for the end to come to us. We go forth and we take dominion. We follow the dominion mandate of Christianity, not the wimpy, milquetoast mandate of Christianity. We are here to enforce righteousness, to protect innocent blood, and to be reflections of the Master Jesus Christ. No king but King Jesus. We're not perfect, but we follow a perfect leader. We will fail. I'll stumble. I'll make mistakes here. But the difference is we don't sit around waiting for the world to come to us to destroy us. We're out changing the world to make it a safer place. A better place for future generations. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not even doing it for you necessarily, but for our kids and our grandkids and future generations, so that what we teach you, what we share with you, whether you agree with all of it or not doesn't matter, but there are nuggets of truth in this. You may think the Muslims are no big deal, but the tactics that Steve teaches on this radio station will help you with any enemy. You may not like our end times, eschatology, that's not going to change anything. It's up to God. Who cares what we think about how the end is going to come? What matters is putting your feet on the floor every day and serving Christ and being out there and pointing our fingers to the stupidity, the sin, the evil, and the downright ugliness of the world. And that's what we're supposed to do. I've got a story for you here that you're just not going to believe. I had seen glimpses of it in the past, and honestly, I have to admit, I forgot about it. This is from, where are we here? We're from the Citizens Times of Asheville. I think it's Asheville. I'll find it here in a minute. Asheville, North Carolina. So it's, I can post this in here for you guys too. Let me do that first before I read it if you want to read along. If you don't want to just listen to my dulcet tones. Okay, so I'm going to go over here and I do this. Is the sound dropping in and out? Batfag saying the sound's dropping in and out. Welcome, Batfag. Welcome to the room. Okay, this is where this article's from here. Lou's supposed to be paying attention so we can see that. I don't think it's dropping in and out here. It was kind of low for the song, I noticed, but I brought it back up. So let's do this. Let me go back here to the article. An Asheville man charged in alleged Liberty Dollar fraud scheme. Federal authorities arrested an Asheville man in what they said was a scheme to undermine the U.S. currency system and defraud consumers with so-called Liberty Dollars. Not counterfeiting. He made up his own system and the Liberty Dollar. And what's funny is that if they can charge him with undermining the U.S. currency system, why aren't they arresting bankers, these guys that are buying oil on futures, these gamblers? They're undermining our economy. William Kevin Inez, I-N-N-E-S, marketed the barter currency in Western North Carolina and recruited merchants willing to accept it and give it as change for products bought with real money, according to an indictment unsealed this week. Now, he's 53 years old. He faces up to 45 years in prison if convicted. He was indicted along with Bernard von Nothaus. I love that name, Nothaus, Nothaus, president of the National Organization for the Repeal of the Federal Reserve and Internal Revenue Codes, and two other defendants, from Indiana associated with the corporation. See, they're coming out now. They have a pecking order. They're going after the ones that they think are hurting them the most. Now, Ines made an initial appearance before a federal magistrate judge in Asheville Wednesday and was ordered detained pending a detention hearing set for Monday today before a judge in Charlotte, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Liberty dollars are coins made of silver or gold that are touted as inflation-proof and a way to encourage buying local goods. They're gold and silver, which is what the Bible tells us to do and what the Constitution tells us to do. When groups seek to undermine the U.S. currency system, the government is compelled to act, said acting U.S. Attorney Edward Ryan of the Western District of North Carolina. He's just acting as an attorney general. These coins are not government-produced coinage, yet purchases were led to believe by those who made and sold them that they should be spent like U.S. Federal Reserve notes, Ryan said. Such claims are in violation of federal law. Well, they weren't taking them across federal lines. Inez and von Nothaus are charged with uttering and passing coins resembling genuine U.S. coins and intended for use as money, mail fraud, and selling and possessing Liberty Dollar coins with the intent to defraud. Well, if they did mail them and went across state lines, I think that's where they made their mistake, huh? That's when the federal thugs come in. Despite warnings from the federal government to the contrary, Inez told the Citizen Times in 2006 that Liberty Dollars were legal. One of the first things I did when I started this in Asheville was go to the police and tell them what I was doing, he said. Well, going to police to find out if something's legal or not is like going to your pharmacist to see if you need to have your appendix out. Sure, they're in the chain of command and they have a part in it, but a cop's not going to know the law. Let's see. Von Nothaus created his organization in Evansville, Indiana in 1998. He developed a Liberty Dollar. He touted the silver medallions as an inflation-proof alternative to official currency. Sounds good to me. The indictment alleges the corporation's purpose was to limit reliance on and competing with U.S. currency. NS held the title of North Carolina Regional Currency Officer and was one of three members of the group's executive committee, the indictment states. I love these guys. A 2007 affidavit said more than 70 businesses in the Asheville area agreed to accept the Liberty Dollar. Sounds like a private contract to me, doesn't it, to you folks? Why is the federal government in there? What if I went and said, look, I don't have any FRNs. I live in a hut up on the hill, but what I can do is I want to trade you eggs, meat, produce for your product. We make an agreement between us. Where should the federal government get involved in that? But you know what? What I just mentioned is illegal, according to the federal government. People understand that there is only one legal currency in the United States. What people, I would ask? Said Owen Harris, special agent in charge of the Charlotte office of the FBI. When groups try to replace the U.S. dollar with coins and bills that don't hold the same value, it affects the economy. Well, he's not saying that hold more value. You notice he didn't say that, don't hold the same value? These gold and silver coins are worth way more than any paper money that you are holding right now. Consumers were using their hard-earned money to buy goods and services, then getting fake change in return. How dare he? God created gold and silver to be a just weights and measures currency. He's calling gold and silver fake change? The arrests are the latest development in an investigation underway since at least 2004. Federal agents raided the company's headquarters in 2007 and seized documents and precious metals figures. A private mint in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho that produced the coins was raided the same day. Von Nothaus' organization said in 2006 that more than $20 million worth of Liberty Dollar coins and notes are currently in circulation in the U.S. God bless them. Congress has exclusive power to coin money in the U.S. and to regulate its value according to the Treasury Department. According to the Treasury Department. Now, folks, I'm going to give out the number 559-346-8362. 559-346-8362. Are you as offended as I am at this? I mean, seriously. Do you think it's okay for them to go in and just take these people's livelihood, throw them in prison, steal their liberty because they're using gold and silver? One of the first things that happened to me here, one of the first levels of education 5 years ago, was most of the people up here in our group, they don't like to trade FRNs. And if we go weed whack for people and stuff, they pay us in FRNs, but most people like to convert it to silver or gold. I couldn't afford gold, so when I bought my first dwelling here, which was a pop-up tent trailer from Fred at Outpost for Freedom in Hanford, California, he told me, he says, I don't want your FRNs. I bought a trailer from him for $100, which was a killer deal. I turned around and sold it for $600 a year and a half later. But he had, what's the word I'm looking for? He was helping me out. He knew I only had $100, but he says, I won't take that $100 bill. He goes, go into town, there's a little silver shop, buy $100 worth of silver and bring me that. So 5 years ago, I gave him a pittance, $100 worth of silver. I think silver was like $5 or $6 an ounce back then. And now look what it's worth. So he's got that same piece of silver, but it's probably now worth 5 or 6 times what it was. I don't know. I don't follow the markets because, again, I don't have currency to buy silver. My currency goes into precious metals such as brass, lead, and spam. Is spam a precious metal? Mm-hmm. I think it should be. I think it should be. But where do they get off doing this? We're allowed to use gold and silver. It's a currency. The Bible says so. So here we have the federal government. Doesn't matter this investigation was going on under a Republican president just as well as it's going on under a Democrat. Can't blame Obongo for this. It started back then. And you've got federal goons coming in stealing gold and silver from private citizens. During the Great Depression, cities around America did not trust the greenback. And there wasn't just enough in circulation anyway. There was kind of a deflation. Nobody had it. So places like Pismo Beach would use seashells. They would write on them, and they would be good for something like good for one meal at this inn or good for one night at this hotel. The reason they used the clams is it took labor to dig them. They would eat the clams, and the clam shells would be separate, and they gave them the value that they saw fit in trade. And that's the way it worked. Just wait, and we will tax you more. Not just weights and measures is our motto of the U.S. as I see freedom. That's right. And anybody who takes part in this economy is being unbiblical. But we all do it, don't we? That's why I said I'm not a perfect man. I use FRNs. I have no problem using FRNs if that's only what the person will take. If I went into the gas station with a dozen eggs, they're not going to say, okay, that dozen eggs is worth $1.50. I'll give you $1.50 of chewing gum. They're not going to do that because they need FRNs to pay their bills. But as much as possible, we got to pull out of it. Let's say somebody was telling me on here, and I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody said, I got a guy who's willing to let me work for him doing manual labor, and he's going to pay me with hardware. And I think that's a great idea. I've made arrangements, and I have no problem saying it, where somebody's had a piece of equipment that I needed, and I'll go up to him and say, look, I can't pay you for that, but let me do this, this, and this. Let me trade you. When I was a kid, I was a trapper. I used to trade animal furs for things. And then they would take the animal furs and go sell them for money. There's a guy up here that has a shop. You bring him rabbit furs, he'll trade you for stuff in his store. And then he sells the rabbit furs to tourists. He buys cow skulls, believe it or not. We have some kids in our church that the thousands and thousands of acres that are cattle ranch behind us, they hike it. They run around it. They find cow skulls. They bring it down to this guy. He buys the cow skull for, I think it's $25, which is a lot of money to these kids. He takes it to a Native American here. The Native American paints it, pays him for painting it somehow, and then he sticks it in his window and he sells it to tourists for a couple $100. I have no problem with that. I mean, if the kids want to learn how to paint them and sell them themselves, fine. This same merchant will allow me and Stacy, and we've done it a couple times, for $8 to set up a booth out in front of his store in the summertime and sell our wares. Sell produce, sell survival gear, whatever. He just wants his $8. So we give him $8. But sometimes he says, hey, I don't want the $8, but I like that canteen and belt. I'll just take that. Barter system. I remember one time I needed legal advice, and I couldn't pay for it. I had got cheated in a business deal in video production. I had bought a piece of equipment for $13,000, a video editing bay called a Video Toaster Flyer System. It was state-of-the-art. I was making commercials for a living. I was editing all kinds of stuff. It's before I was a Christian, and I didn't, you know, so I was going to... Instead of trying to deal with the guy, I tried two or three times. He kept blowing me off, so I went to court. I went to a lawyer that was a friend of a friend. I said, look, I can't pay you, but what I can do is I can make you television commercials. I can loan you video equipment for your cases, and I can be an expert witness whenever you want. Within the next 5 years, I put a cap on it. I will come out and videotape damage to vehicles, people acting stupid, ex-wives cheating. Because it was going to cost me a lot. This is $13,000 that I needed to get back from this company that ripped me off. They didn't fully assemble the equipment. They assembled it wrong. This is what he said to me. He goes, look. He goes, you let me borrow your video camera for a few weddings and things like that, you know, of my relatives, and you edit it. I'll even pay you, but you give me a discount. We'll work it out. It took him 2 days, and he tore this company apart. And the judge said, yeah, it's fraud, obviously. I want you to give him a check immediately for $13,500 and another check for $500 for punitive damages because I had lost some business. So what I did is I was just like, great, thank you. I gave him my video camera to use. He didn't even ask me to show up at these weddings or family reunions for a couple years, and that was fine. And then after that, he paid me to make him a commercial. Barter is the more just way, silver and gold. I told you about here, when we used to have a community here that they were Marxists. They were following Karl Marx teaching and Engel and all those guys in the 1880s. Their currency was based on 15 minutes of labor. If you worked on the communal projects, building the school, building the road mostly, the road was the big deal to get up to the trees because their initial goal was to harvest the trees, the big trees. You got a piece of script. Each unit of currency was worth 15 minutes of work. So if you worked four, you know, an hour, you got four pieces of script. If you worked 8 hours, you know, four times eight, 16, 32, whatever. And that's what they did. And then the shop, they had a community store on the other side of the river in the actual town of Cahuilla. We're on this side of the river. And I've researched this. And you could bring that script in. That's what it was called, S-C-R-I-P. And they would take it, and then you could get food, tobacco, whatever. Then the people that owned the farms around here, because there were a few farms that provided the poultry and the fruit and all that, would take that same script in exchange for food, and then people from the town could go work for these farmers in the field, and they could either get food or a piece of this script. And they had their own little economy. The problem was, here's the problem, and this always is the problem with barter systems, when they needed to bring in outside equipment, San Francisco was not going to take a bunch of pieces of paper handwritten by the community. They weren't. So what they did is they got backing from European socialist Marxist bankers that would influx actual currency into their account so that they could buy a tractor, you know, or a plow, excuse me, before tractors, could buy a plow, could do this kind of stuff. But on a smaller micro scale, post-disaster, post-economic collapse, it's going to work. If you already have everything you need. Now, you may have to come up with gold and silver to convert to FRNs or to bring in something, a generator. I know you have to do it. I mean, there are certain companies that are advertised on Liberty Tree Radio that will take silver and gold to get their paperweights. You know what I'm talking about. What's the name of that company?
KT Ordnance.
Excuse me?
KT Ordnance.
KT Ordnance will take gold and silver. God bless them. I would take gold and silver. If you sent me silver quarters or something as a donation to our ministry here, we would keep those. We would put them in the church vault. We would be good stewards of that. But that would free me up to use, you know, another quarter or something. But I'm not saying I'm asking you to send me gold and silver, but get the point. A story told, one of our friends up here, Frank, he wants to buy an engagement ring and wedding ring and all this for a woman that he's been courting. And he went into the jewelry store, and he's looking at the prices of things. He's like, oh, man, I can't, you know, this is what she wants. I can't afford this. And the jeweler looks at him and goes, well, what about that necklace around your neck? Can I take it and weigh it? Now, decades ago, this necklace was given to him for doing a job in a Las Vegas jewelry shop or pawn shop, he said. He's a carpenter. So he put in some shelving or something, and they gave him a necklace that at that time was equal to about $200 worth of work. And so they said, here, you did $200 worth of work. Would you like a necklace? The guy's like, thanks. That's great. A little bonus. He gave him some cash, too. Well, the guy's like, yeah. He goes, it can't be worth much. You know, it's just something I have. It's just a little gold necklace, you know, a little bit of bling. Guy comes back. He says, this thing's worth $900. He goes, I'll give you $900 store credit. So he buys the engagement ring, puts money down on the wedding ring, and leaves with cash in his pocket. That's why gold is currency. And paper isn't. The FRNs. FRNs, euros, yen, are all fiat and an insult to your labor value equivalency, says IC Freedom. You're right. Working for FRNs is like working for almost expired food, says Swanson. That's true. Great points in the chat room, you guys. Great points in the chat room. It's true. Somebody pays you with a piece of paper today and you sit on it, you stick it in your mattress. 2 years from now, it's not going to be worth what it is. But if your intention is to take that FRN, go to the grocery store and convert it to food, isn't it better that you would work for food? I know that sounds like, I don't want to work for food. I don't want to sound like a bum. But the orchard that's down the road here, I tried to get a job there. Now, I wouldn't want to work for oranges unless I could work out a deal. I get a, if I harvest their oranges, I get so many bushels for my own use, and I can go out on the street and either sell them for currency of some type. I can take them to the local shops and trade them for things that I need. And that's what happens. And I'm not going to give the guy's name because I know that they'll go after him. But the one shop here in town, I've seen people come in there with avocados. I've seen grapefruits. What are those red things? It's the Spanish word for grenade. Pomegranates. Is that what you said?
No.
Pomegranates. People go in the pomegranate and say, hey, I've got a case of pomegranates. Can I get some eggs? I got a case of pomegranates. I really like that drill over there. How many bushels of pomegranates? And then this merchant turns around and then sells the pomegranates to foreigners. It was funny. We were in there one time, and these people go, we didn't convert our money. They had some weird accent, European, Lithuanian or something. And they said, can we pay you with euros? And the guy goes, well, I don't know what a euro is. He's not a sophisticated guy. And I said, well, I go, let me look. And, it was funny. We figured it out somehow. We said, well, there's an exchange rate, and we didn't have a computer or anything. So I said, I think they're like $1.20. So he goes, okay, and he computes it out, and he tells him. He says, okay, because I have to go to the bank and exchange them, I'm going to charge you 10 cents per dollar, a 10% fee, but because these people didn't want to have to go find a bank and convert it, and the banks up here aren't going to take euros. So he said, okay. He worked out a contract with them. He took their euros with a 10% fee for conversion and let them buy stuff in his store. And you know what they bought? Silver and gold, coins and necklaces. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to work. You have a contract. Now, the government could come in and say, oh, no, you can't. You're deciding what that euro's worth. How dare you? I remember when I spent time in Central America, bolivars, all these different currencies. I didn't know what, so I just didn't do it, and I would just use the American dollar. But even more so, I liked coins. They liked coins. So I would get American, when I got my pay, back then, this tells you how long ago it was, I could say, can I have Susan B. Anthony dollars? Can I have this? Can I have that? And then that way I could go in, and they liked it. They liked feeling that American coin. Not that an American coin is any more valuable anymore anyway, because they don't put any, aren't they all nickel and zinc and stuff? And I remember one time at Fort A.P. Hill, Virginia, the local merchants were being jerks to GIs. And they were trying to, they hated us because we were an occupying force. Let's admit it. It was in the Confederacy, you know, just north of Richmond, Virginia, Bowling Green, Virginia. And they didn't like us being there. So they started being jerks to the GIs. And I tried to say, hey, look, I'm on your side. I'm a Confederate. I'm from Colorado, man. I didn't tell them my ancestors were from Boston. But, and this is even before I knew that my folks fought in Louisiana on the side of the Confederacy. Our colonel said, okay, here's what we're going to do. He requested that the paymasters bring Susan B. Anthony dollars and $2 bills. Susan B. Anthony dollars and $2 bills. So I got my $988 in Susan B. Anthony and $2 bills. Once the community saw those Susan B. Anthony's and the $2 bills going through their economy, they stopped complaining about GIs. They saw that we accounted for well over 40% of the money they brought in, even though they were on Interstate 95 and there was some tourism there, there's historical sites. the 200 members on post made a big difference to their economy once they floated and they shut up. But they really, they didn't like the $2 bill as much. They loved that Susan B. Anthony coin. The American psyche looks at that paper and goes, what's this, tissue? That's really all it is. A coin at least has some material in it. And I'm here to tell you, one of the things, and we may be doing this next month, we're going to start saving our nickels and things like that. Nickels would be a good thing because they have nickel in them, and nickel still has a value. But I want to buy a bunch of copper. Just rolls of copper, not ingots or anything, just copper wire, copper rods, whatever you can get, because copper is predicted to shoot up too. And we can make currency out of copper. Because I'm forward thinking. When this thing ends, or even when this thing starts, and we're left on our own in these little communities, those of you that are smart enough to get out of the cities on time and get to your retreats and build your own communities, why can't we stamp our own currency out of copper? Why can't we melt it down into little coins and have a certain weight and a standard for our community? You know? I love coins. I hate paper. I love coins.
Congress has the right to print up dollars backed by gold and silver, which guaranteed the future would be bright. Then Congress signed a contract with some banksters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation, which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed, and then charge us compound interest on some paper, which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money, it's a nation's curse since times of old. Things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border before we only have ourselves to blame. Paper money, funny money, it's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's
all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. Huh? It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome back. Thanks to everyone in the chat room. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Camp Kauia, Kauia, California. And welcome to our Liberty Tree radio listeners, our big sisters. I'm looking right now, our big sister network, not our big sisters. Don't want to insult those folks over there. We just had about 30 other folks jump into the chat room. That's fantastic. So, and we just were co-hosting with Ed. This is going great. Let me turn this music down. We're not going to talk about barter right away. A bunch of people want to keep talking about barter, but I want his time is valuable. On the line is Steve Klein from Code 20. Are you there, Steve?
Glad to be here. Yep, it's me with Code 20 taking on the Muslims.
Great. Special day today. No, it's not Tuesday, but we are talking today. We usually talk daily about what we're doing tactically and strategically and for the future of you and your children. But and he brought up that he's going to a protest tomorrow in the L.A. area, if I'm right. If not, but I'm just going to let him talk. Tell us about what you're doing tomorrow and where you need people to show up and when.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're going to be in Villa Park, the city of Villa Park, which is close to Disneyland Anaheim. You can Google it at the city of Villa Park. It's at the intersection of East Santiago and Wanda. And you can go online and look at it. The Muslim Brotherhood is claiming they're going to have 800 of the Muslim Brotherhood there. So if you've never seen or talk to a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, come on out. The Muslim Brotherhood, very interesting. When they say they're going to come with 800 people, they'll probably come with about 8,000 people. They are amazing. They can get the bodies out, whereas we will be lucky to have 10 to 20 people for what happened. We did a demonstration, First Amendment educational outreach demonstration against the Muslim Brotherhood about a month and a half ago in Yorba Linda, which is just north of Anaheim Disneyland, and the Muslim Brotherhood had a group there, and the Muslim Brotherhood, through their affiliate called CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, which I call Creepy American Islamic Rats,
yes.
I called them that to their face, the Creepy American Islamic Rats, their Muslim Brotherhood. They got really upset because we told the truth, and in Islam, because it's based on lies, the only thing they can come back with is violence or threats of violence, intimidation. So one of the city council ladies from Villa Park spoke to our group when we were protesting against the Muslim Brotherhood fundraising, because we know that the Muslim Brotherhood will take that money. And when they fundraise for suicide bombers and terrorists throughout the world. So this lady came and spoke to our group, and now CARE, Creepy American Islamic Rats, is angry, and they're threatening her, and they want her fired from the city council. How dare
an
she come out
official.
Using an elected official, using the First Amendment with police protection. How dare she come out and speak the truth about the Muslim Brotherhood and terrorism. So this should be pretty interesting. A couple of really good things is that the City Hall city council, mayor, and police of Yorba Linda, which is a real, real influential upscale neighborhood just east of Los Angeles. And now Villa Park, both of these city councils, mayor, and police, they're all being drawn into this vortex of finally, for the first time, understanding how intimidating, bullying, mean, evil, wicked, what would Muhammad do, WWMD, just exactly what we're seeing, the creepy American Islamic rats are going to be out tomorrow. So, it kicks off at 7 p.m. I'm getting there about 5 p.m. I'm trying to rustle up my TV crew to come out and be with me. I actually want to interview members of the Muslim Brotherhood and ask them, so what about Muhammad and his six-year-old wife, see what I can do to stir up the rats there, see if they go crazy. And I need Lou there to protect me, man, to chop them in the throat for me.
Well,
it should be interesting.
Well, what you're going to be doing also, because you say it starts at 7, if I'm right, is that what you said?
Right.
So you'll be on the air with us via telephone.
Yes.
From 6 to 7, so you give us kind of a boots-on-the-ground view of what's getting ready to happen.
Exactly.
So that might be
good. That should work out pretty good, and so people will be able to hear the ambient noise in the background. I may be able to actually interview some of the Muslim Brotherhood on the radio show.
That would be great. I'd love to ask them some questions.
Some of the people are going to be going inside and speaking, and frankly, I'm not really interested in that. I want to be on the outside watching, observing, doing code 20, getting pictures, videos, seeing who's out there. I know I'll recognize a number of the Muslim Brotherhood out there. And we actually sent some emails to the Villa Park City elected officials and made it real simple. I sent them the Muslim Brotherhood logo, and I explained that the Muslim Brotherhood logo is a copy of the Quran at the top, over two cross swords, and then underneath it some Arabic. And I explained that the Arabic at the bottom, what it means for the Muslim Brotherhood in Arabic, it's a command in Arabic for the Muslim Brotherhood to prepare to attack, to prepare to kill the infidel, the kafir.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and the second meaning is for the kafir, the infidel, prepare to die. So it actually means two things. It's a command to the Muslim Brotherhood to attack, to kill, and it's a command to the kafir, the infidels, prepare to die.
Okay, great. That's wonderful. What do you need them to show up as? You know, I mean, just what advice do you have for them to wear, what to bring with them, you know?
Dress warm, because it's been cold down here and wet and rainy. Dress warm. If you can download pictures of the Muslim Brotherhood logo, 8.5 by 11, black and white, and just write on there, they can email you or me, and I'll explain to them again. You know, at the top, it's the Quran over the cross swords, and at the bottom, it means two things. For the Muslim Brotherhood, it's a command to prepare to kill the kafir, the infidel, and for the kafir, the infidel, prepare to die. So if you just go to Muslim Brotherhood logo, Muslim Brotherhood Wikipedia, you'll see the Muslim Brotherhood logo. Just click on it, copy it, put it in a Word product, expand it so it takes the whole piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, copy off 10 or 20 of those and bring those with you, and you can pass them out. I'm sure the 800 Muslim Brotherhood would love to get a copy of their logo.
Now, this is going to be, now the way Code 20 works, guys, because we had a question in the chat room, we're not going to burn their flag, we're not going to burn their logo. We're going to be I wish I could be there. You're going to be a presence. You're going to be there. You're going to talk to them. You're going to argue with them. But you are not going to burn their logo. So that's not something that's going to happen. We're not at that point yet.
Not tomorrow. There's a number of us groups who are going out tomorrow. There's only going to be 10 or 15, and I'm really not in charge. Now, eventually, we're going to burn a Quran on my television show. My producer asked me to do that. We're going to do that.
Oh, man.
Oh, big time. And remember, I have a million viewers, and 20%, about 200,000, are Muslims, and I will be converting the Quran there sometime in the next 3 or 4 months. It should be pretty funny. So Villa Park is right at the intersection of Catella, and which is off of Disneyland, and the freeway 55. You can go to the Villa Park City website and it has the address. Do not use their map. It just shows the general area where Villa Park is. Copy the address from the Villa Park City address. It's on the front page. Put it into MapQuest or something and, and get you a map how to get there. If they want to call me, I will be there. I'll give my phone number a couple of times. I'll have my phone with me. It's 951-492-8753. And if you're a Muslim and you're calling and you're going to try to terrify me, it ain't going to work. You can call me, but believe me, I'll find you.
Yeah, speaking of that,
your intimidation will not work on me.
If you're looking for Steve, just look for a handlebar mustache pirate-looking guy. Are you guys going to be wearing T-shirts, any of the Christian Defenders
Nothing.
Or anything like that? Okay, just
no identified things. I'll just I'll have a USC baseball hat on, USC for, you know, the USC Trojan football.
Sure.
And I have white hair and my mustache, big handlebar white mustache.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that'll be good. And I'm trying to think anything else. If you know you want to wear a T-shirt that says "No King but King Jesus," something like that would be okay.
That'd be cool.
But you need to be alert. Cool. Your head has to be on a swivel. Remember, you're representing Jesus Christ. Don't be stupid. You know, don't go down there to provoke anything, but let them know that you're not backing down.
Yeah, if you have a digital camera, bring your digital camera. Oh, you definitely want a digital camera because if something goes wrong, and they will lie.
Yeah.
They will definitely lie. So I'll have my camera. Bring your, if you have an iPod or a phone.
We're losing you there.
Yeah, if some Muslim starts to talk to you, immediately turn your camera on with your audio because if something goes wrong and you get arrested because they are masters at deception, masters at lying, masters of setting up the antagonism so that they look like the victim and we look like the bully. So I do get very intense with them. I don't back down from them. I laugh at their face and I ask them, like, I'll tell you one that's pretty funny. They believe that Adam was 50 feet tall in the Quran. They believe that Adam was 50 feet tall. And so I say to them, you believe Adam was 50 feet tall? And they go, yeah. And I go, so how big was Eve? Like 5 foot, 6 foot, 7 feet? And then I just tell them, so, dude, tell me, how'd they have sex? I mean, you got this giant whale jumping on this little girl. So you guys believe that stuff? I mean, I really get graphic with them. I laugh at them.
Well, here's a good chance for you guys that have been interested in Code 20 in Southern California that have been, you know, sending me emails wanting to find out more, saying, hey, I'd love to do one of those. I'd love to go out with you guys. I just can't get there. Well, now Steve's in your area, and I'm not asking you. He's not asking you to do anything. You could just sit back and watch how it works and then contact him afterwards and say, hey, I'd like to know more. But just having some Christian faces down there is going to make a big difference.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Okay, Steve, why don't you give out your phone number once again, and then if anybody else is interested, they can email me, and I will forward it to him right away. But just give out your phone number and just, you know, say the name of the city hall again.
951-492-8753. And through the course of the show, you can go ahead and give it out again. The name of the city, it's two words, Villa Park, V, like Pancho Villa, V-I-L-L-A, Villa Park, P-A-R-K, and you can just go online, Yahoo or Google, and put in Villa Park, City of Villa Park. The address will come up on their homepage. Just copy that, put it in the MapQuest or something, and you can call me if you get lost or discombobulated. Now, it starts at 7 p.m. I'm getting there about 5 p.m. I have a hunch it's going to be an absolute zoo because the Muslims, they can mass huge numbers of people, and they'll get there early, and they should be pretty full of themselves. It should be interesting.
This is your chance, people, to show that, and if you're not in Southern California and you know somebody in Southern California that's like-minded, why is it that they can show up with 800 people overnight or over, you know, a few days planning? Why can't we show up with at least 100, 150 people? This is getting directly to what the pastor was talking about on Thursday. The sin of omission by not acting when the call goes out. We're not asking you to show up with your weapons. This isn't a life or death situation. This is just standing in the gates, making a stand for Jesus Christ in your nation, even if you're not a Christian, making a stand in your nation to say no to Sharia law, to say no to Islamic teachings, to the subjugation of women and little girls. This is your chance to stand up and do it instead of sitting on the couch and just going, oh, man, that really sucks. Somebody should do something about it. Steve's putting it out there. He gave out his personal phone number to you guys to be there. If you're not in Southern California and you have a loved one or a relative there, call them after, you know, as soon as you can. Call them while you're listening to the show. Say, hey, you got to check this out. You got anything else to say? Other than that, we'll talk to you tomorrow, Steve.
Well, yeah, come on down. Even if you're a little nervous, don't get out of your car. Just drive around, drive through the area, look around, look at the volume of Muslims, and look what's going to be the face of America in the next 20 to 30 years, because this is just the start.
Yeah.
This is just the start. So what you see, if you're afraid to get out of the car, stay in your car, stay in your truck, take baby steps. And if you want to come out, keep your mouth shut, be smart, look for me, don't even talk to anybody. I am light complexion, I have light white hair, white mustache, I'll have a USC baseball cap on. If they're dark-complected, I'm not being racist. Now, I am profiling because, hey, they look like Muslims. Leave them alone. Look for me. If you want to come over and just watch, you're too afraid to talk, don't worry about it. If all you can do is just drive by, then do that. And if all you can do is drive by and take pictures to post on the Internet or video to post on the Internet, that in itself is a huge help. So don't be embarrassed. Look, I am terrified to go into a bureaucracy. I do not like working with clerks.
Yeah.
I hate working with clerks. I'm terrified of it. But when I go out here, I'm not terrified. We all have our calling. My wife laughs at me because she's like, oh, you're afraid to go down and talk to a bureaucrat? Well, the reason I am is because I'm short-fused and I don't want to talk to these guys 9 years in the Marine Corps. So.
Yeah.
I hope you can make it out tomorrow. Feel free to call me. I turn my phone off at 9 p.m. California, but if you call at 2 o'clock in the morning, just leave a message. If you're Muslim, I will track you down, and eventually, when you're trying to cut my throat, I will flip it on you, and you're going down.
There you go. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you for all you do, and thank you for letting us know about this here on Liberty Tree Radio and Stronghold Radio. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow night, live with 800 Muslims, Allah Akbar.
We'll be with you in spirit, brother.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye. Or as we like to say, Kawiya Snack Bar. I always want to yell that at a group of Muslims. Kawiya Snack Bar! Yeah, we have a snack bar up here. You're welcome to come up. Folks, that was Steve Klein. And if you're interested, just email me tonight, and I'll make sure you get the information on how to do that. Before, in the first hour, which got lost, and hopefully Olima's out there and she can catch it and put it in the archives, we were talking about a case in Asheville, North Carolina, where they've arrested some people for making their own gold and silver coins. And some folks asked in the chat room if I knew any sources for that. I don't off the top of my head. Everything I've learned has been going through different barter groups and just trial and error. I'm sure if you just, you know, I hate telling people, go Google it. But if you Google some of this stuff, you're going to find it. But my advice is to start working on it now. Start working on a trade and an economic barter system now before the collapse or before a disaster. You don't want to be paying $100 for a gallon of gas. So you might figure out a way to store some gas on your property. And then that becomes a barter item. And you hear it all the time on Liberty Tree Radio. I hear it all the time from Mark Kornke and the other folks over there. If you have everything you need, get a couple extra sets. That'll become the currency. I can't afford gold and silver. Believe it or not, I cannot afford gold and silver. And everybody goes, oh, everybody can afford some. Every penny I have goes into buying food, medical, things like that. Those will become my currency, the extra things. Spices. Spices are great. I don't remember if I said it last hour, but copper is a good thing to get. We may end up coining our own currency. There may be scrip. Start working with people that you trust to figure out another way of regulating a trade of labor for goods. Contracts. Come up with a system. Right now here at Camp Kawiya, we've already worked out codes of conduct. We've worked out how we're going to govern things after the collapse, how we're going to self-govern our community, what the trade system's going to be. We're already working on it. Do you think the founding fathers went to war with Great Britain without a plan? Why do you think it took so long? Why do you think there was so much buildup from the point of the Boston Massacre to Lexington and Concord, to the Declaration of Independence, because they were wise. They were following biblical doctrine. You have to have a plan. And bartering in a post-collapse economy is part of that. We've already figured out pretty much there's going to be two places in our community, because we have two communities here. We have Cahuilla, here at Camp Cahuilla, and we have Three Rivers, California, which is a different makeup. There's a few like-minded people over there on the other side of the river, not many, but they're there, and they're starting to come out of the woodwork now that they're hearing about us. We're getting more and more people showing up for our trainings, more and more people showing up to church going, hey, we've heard about you guys, what's going on up here? So we know there'll be a market over there, and there'll be a market here. And the market will be as far as you can take your goods to trade without destroying them. So we do what we need to do now in preparation. Not just preparing your cash, but prepare your community. You may think about what you're going to need. You may have a butcher in town, and like we do. We have a butcher shop in town, and we also have cattlemen in town. Now, we know them both, and I'm sure they know each other because of the way that commerce works. But why not just mention it to them? Say, hey, have you thought about what happens when we get cut off from the rest of California? How much your beef is actually going to be worth? But unless you can take it somewhere and have it, you know, immediately butchered on the hoof and sold that day, it's going to be worth nothing. There's no refrigeration. Have you thought about talking to Ed down there at the grocery store who manages it and say, hey, if I bring you a cow every 2 days, can you butcher it and sell it and then give me a percentage and you get a percentage for cutting the meat and that way the people? You got to start planning like that. And then you look at them and say, well, if I want to have, how much would it cost for me to get two cows and a bull? What do I have that I can trade with you? And start thinking about those things. I'm going to be in trouble because of all kinds of problems with, you know, my physicality. I only work about 4 hours a day. My legs go numb. My back goes out. I've shared that with most of you that have been listening to the show. I'm not going to have a labor-based skill that's going to make enough resources for my family. Fortunately, I got Lou here who's strong as a little ox, and as he learns more skills and things, it'll be better. So I've got to come up with other things. You've got to find crafts and skills that you can use that may not be labor-intensive if you don't have that ability. I can tell you right now there's not going to be any need for a radio announcer, period. The power doesn't need to be used for this unless we set up a water wheel and we can generate it and people have crank-up radios, which is a possibility. If people think that we need to run our 400-watt FM station and give out daily news and things like that, sure, maybe that'll be it. Maybe as a teacher, maybe I can train people. I don't know. I do know. I actually have multiple strategies in mind. They may work, they may not, but I'm ready to move on. Those of you that can split wood in a cold climate, that could be your whole economy, being a logger. Computer repair person, not so much, unless you find a way to generate. People are saying they'll take care of me. Not so much to computers. There may only be one computer that needs to be on it. It may be used to run some medical equipment or something. Now is the time to diversify your skill set if you can't swing an axe or use a shovel properly. But I'm here to tell you, everybody can do a little bit. There are going to be public works that need to be maintained. There's going to be sewage and refuse and things that need to be done. A barter economy will make sure those things get done. Because honestly, I'm here to tell you, if we get 200 refugees, and they may get insulted if I say refugees, 200 friends of the church that come up here, that have been members of the church in the past, that support us monetarily, some of you guys that listen to me, that are like-minded, and we come in here, and I just say, okay, everybody, we got to go build a pond down there. If you want to stay here, you got to help us build that pond. We're going to man it with fish, and we're going to farm fish, because that's one of the strategies here. They used to farm catfish here, and because we've got streams and rivers all around us. You know, and you may say, and here's what you're going to get. Every family that donates at least one worker 3 days a week or something, you're going to get so much fish out of it. But then pretty soon the fish will all be gone. The fish are going to grow later. We have to catch the fish. No. We'll be saying things like, okay, we're going to come up with some kind of barter system. Everybody's got to be doing something, and there has to be a symbol of that labor. So if we make our own copper coins, we keep nickels, like everybody's recommending. We pay in nickels, dimes, 22 shells, shoes, all the things that you folks have been listening to Liberty Tree Radio all these years, and the great advice you've been getting from the folks that and that preach this stuff on here. They've been telling you what to do. Now's the time to put it into action and start pre-planning it. This is a rubber meets the road time. This is when you take an idea and you put action to it. Steve Klein with Code 20, you just heard him on here. He's put some legs to some of our training that we've been doing. He's getting people from hundreds of miles away coming to us, paying money and donating money to the church to get this kind of training. Might be an idea for your little group right now to be training them city folk to make a little money out of it. In all honesty, the money that I get paid to do it, I usually give it to the other volunteers, and then we donate it to the church. And I'm not saying that to brag, because that diminishes it, but there's so many good things you could be doing if you're a church-oriented one. Think about that. Open your doors for CPR training. You may not have a great facility. You don't have a Camp Cahuilla with a shooting range, obstacle course, and all that. But now is the time to start setting up these contracts, these one-on-one contracts, these agreements, deciding what has value, and then let the market decide itself. You may say 10.22 shells will equal a dollar. I'm just throwing that out. But in reality, 10.22 shells may be so valuable they could equal a, you know, a quarter of beef. You don't know. But you got to start somewhere. You have to have a basis. We're going to be back after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. We're also welcoming our Liberty Tree Radio, our big sister network, and all those listeners, the multitude over there, from Camp Cahuilla in Central California, right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park. As I look out the window, I see snow at about 1,500 feet. And the sky is opening up in blue. It's been raining all day here, and God's given us a beautiful evening. We'll be back after the break, and we'll talk more about our survival attitudes and pushing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into everything we do. Every day.
To you, for the USA. It's about the Constitution, about Washington, D.C. It's about our God and country, about our liberty. It's about our independence. It's about our right to bear arms, about peace and happiness. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call? Give your all, will you, for the USA?
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Okay, we're back. What was the name of that song, guys? Tell them. That's one of the
One of the songs that was submitted by Minute, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Carver wants to know that song. I never know. What was the name of it?
Huh?
Will You Be Among the Patriots? And who sang it? Steve Voss. We're back. I love this bumper music. It's all westerny. I feel like I should plug holes in somebody with a six-shooter. You're listening to the Dutch Jones radio program, and I got turned down a little bit. Coming to you from Camp Cahuilla at the front gates of Sequoia National Park. Yes, we are in Central California. There are redneck Confederate Christian. We're all here. It's all types. We got free men on the land in our group. We got law people. We got and the Fed people. We got all kinds here at Camp Cahuilla. We're finding the common ground and working together to promote it. Big shout out to all those folks in upstate New York listening on Channel 2 on the CB in the Finger Lakes region, I think is where it was. Can't remember the name of the town. Big thank you to Scotty for doing that. I don't care if you have to use a walkie-talkie, 2-meter, whatever it takes to get this message out so people know that there is a Christian militant militia answer to these issues. For all those Christians that are sitting there going, man, I know something's wrong with this world. But my pastor's telling me I just have to shut up, sit back, and wait for the rapture. But in my heart, I know from what I've been taught about the founding fathers, what I've been taught about what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman, something's wrong and I got to stand up. That's what we're putting out. And I don't know of any other people doing as much as we are for this, you know, no king but King Jesus type thing. You can get the militia stuff a few places. Liberty Radio, of course, is the best place I've found. You wouldn't believe how many people email me, hey, I listened to your show, I really like it. Please sign up and listen to my radio show, and I'll go there, and it'll be the same thing that I hear over and over again, the stuff I've been hearing for 10 years. Nothing forward-thinking. And that's fine, because people need that too. But I'll just listen to Alex Jones about all the problem stuff. You know, I like to say, we don't just show you the problem here at Camp Cahuilla, Stronghold Radio. We like to show you some solutions, and by far not the only solutions. I don't know everything. I don't know half as much as half the guys on Liberty Tree Radio. I would bet money on that. I've learned from them. I've been to a few survival places. I've been to a bunch of training. I was in the U.S. Army. I've faced death a few times, you know. I fired my weapons in anger and in self-preservation. I've rushed into burning houses with crews of men to save people. I've fought firefights in Central America. I've fought wildfires in California. I'm no better than anybody else. God's just tested me, and so far, the blessing has been I've gotten through it. I'm just trying to share it with people. That's why I invite you to come up here and train with us at the church at Cahuilla. Go to our websites, dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info, J-O-E-N-S, remember that. And all I ask in return is that you pay attention, you tell people about us, and if you get a few extra dollars and you truly prayed about it, don't just send it off willy-nilly. I want you to pray about it, and you want to support this kind of ministry, send us a few dollars. If you like the fact that Liberty Tree Radio carries this show, and we bring you the two other shows during the week, you know, Code 20 with Steve Klein and Practical Christianity with Pastor Warmark Campbell, please send some money to Liberty Tree Radio. We look at our website. We're getting thousands of hits on our website every month. Now, last month we got 10,000, man. It just blew us away. I think that had a lot to do with the Shauna Ford trial and different newspapers talking about our coverage of it, because we were the only people that looked like a legitimate radio station, because I really sold it. And so I was getting calls for interviews and things like that. So we were mentioned in several articles around the country. So people clicked, they listened for a little bit. A hit doesn't mean anything. What I care is that they listen to the show. They poke around, they look at the manuals. They find you guys, and they fellowship with you, the connections. There have been 3 or 4, maybe 5 connections made because of this, the effort of this ministry. Not me, the ministry. It's not about me. Some people in Michigan got together. Some people in Southern California got together. That's all I ask. That 2, 3, 4 families, some individuals get together and start forward thinking, realizing what's on the horizon, and start doing what needs to be done. We've been talking about barter systems, trade, working out agreements. It's all about agreements. It's all about promises.
and saying, this is what we're going to do if you do that. We've got two or three militias in our area. Quite honestly, with the exception of the Exeter Militia, I don't know if they're the Badger Militia or the Exeter Militia. They moved their training. They set up a training facility in the mountains, I don't know, 5-6 miles as a crow flies from us. And they're in a place called Badger now. But whatever. We've had really good relationships with them. We even allowed one of our women folk to marry one of their men folk. She's in there listening. At least I think she is. She's still there. But most of the militias in California are paper tigers. Cyber couch potatoes. We invite them up here. They come up here. They may train once or twice with us. And they freak out. They're like, you guys are actually preparing. We just like to sit around and talk about it. We just want to go to the range, poke holes in paper. Well, we need you to move up and down the hill. We need to trust you enough so that we can do 2-man, 3-man fire teams. We need you to put some effort into it. We need you to show up for church on Sundays once in a while so we get to know you. I get so many people that want to be part of what's going on up here, but they never show up for church. They never show up for Bible study. They don't show up for work days. We have very few work days. We got a work day coming up here in the spring where we're going to build some LPOPs on some property up here. And we're, you know, I don't care talking about it. It's not top secret. We're going to put in some heart. We had a militia from Southern California. They brought us a kilometer of wire. I don't know how a kilometer is, what, a thousand meters. That's going to get us one phone installed up on a hillside. Then we'll get another couple thousand kilometers of wire. We'll put another phone up on a hill. Put solar panels on them, crank them, whatever it takes. Things are happening here at Camp Kaweah. Not as fast as they should be, but they're happening. But a lot of these guys, they show up, and they always want to tell us, oh, man, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that. Okay, what are you doing next Saturday? We'll do it. Show up Saturday. I'll have two or three guys here. You show up, we'll do it. And they don't show up. They don't show up. Now, we don't require that you go to church with us to do all of the training. We require you come to church with us so we get to know you. That's why we do it. What better way to get to know somebody than to see how they worship and have chow with them and then do some of the... Our medical training is on Sunday afternoons after we eat. Now, Twinkle Toes, if in fact this is who I think it is and not Rocky using her sign-in, Twinkle Toes came in. Her and her mom did the training with us. She can't make it all the time because she got married. She moved to another community, but she made the effort. She made phone calls. Hey, I want to be at that training. Training is sacrificial. Just like worship is sacrificial. Because the time's going to come. It's just like anything else you do, we procrastinate. It's our national symbol should somehow incorporate the art of procrastination.
We'll get on that later.
Yeah, we'll get on that later. And that's the way it's become in America. We don't do what we need to do now. I tell you, I fight with it. There's 8 or 9 things I need to do, but when it was raining, I was like, I got to go change the tire on one of the vehicles. I got to get it down to the shop and get it ready to go. Find out what's wrong with it, and it's just not running. We got to do some work in the chicken coops. We got to get ready to put animals in there. We got to work on our pig traps. We're going to catch us some wild pigs and start raising them. Why buy a pig when they're running around all over the mountains? We got to dig some holes and fill in some other holes. We got to go through our gear. We got to do what we can do now. We're in a period of grace, people. We're in a period of grace. So make those arrangements, make those agreements with merchants. Find out, sit down and actually look at what you need that you can't produce on your facility or get from a close friend. Seriously. Like we can raise beef here, but how much? Now, we're expecting up to 200 people to show up here because of commitments and things that were said and made. Twinkle Toes says to her it wasn't an option to come to training. That's right. To me, it's not an option to train. It's not an option to prepare and do things. Like I was just about to say, we need cattle up here. I can't afford a cow. We're going to do what we can to get one, two, and then see what we do from there. But I can get rabbits. I can get chickens. I can buy little baby chicks, $2-3 a piece, and steward them, raise them, and then they can produce eggs and food. And when they stop producing eggs, they go in the fryer. Or actually, we bake them, put them in the solar oven. We've been eating a lot of chicken lately. I'm trying to get off the red meat, not because I got a philosophical problem, just health issues. I need to eat a little less red meat. Today we had salads and grilled cheese sandwiches for lunch. Probably the healthiest thing I've eaten in a long time. Lou didn't have a salad. He's an anti-veggie. He's an anti-vegetite. Is that what anti-vegetite? Would that be the word?
Keep salad.
Yeah. Peeps. He likes eating Peeps. I went and looked up what goes into Peeps, and he still likes them.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, it's palm oil, tar, and sugar. Canuba wax. That's what it is. Canuba wax. I use Canuba wax on my car, Lou. Talk into your mic. Lean forward.
What food grade?
I don't know if it's food grade Canuba.
I'm sure they do have it.
Seeds. We've got to plant seeds. Twinkle Toes called me on Friday, but I didn't get on the air. That we've got to start planting. We've got our pepper seeds. We're going to order. We're going to get seeds this next month when I get my VA money. I don't even know what we're going to grow. I'm a terrible gardener. When I was a kid, I grew corn and stuff. It was easy in Colorado. Here in California, it's tough to grow the stuff. It's like having a mistress if you have a garden. You got to pay complete attention to it because there's always some gopher trying to eat it. So we got to invest in gopher poison. The gopher traps need to be oiled and prepped and ready to go. A lot of work. And it's me and Lou and Stacy. And honestly, it's mostly me. But we got to get Lou and Stacy out there doing some more. Time to go through all the hoses and everything. And if I've been telling people all winter, hey, see that little, I don't know, what do we got, about an acre garden fenced off? I don't know how many square feet is an acre, but we got a nice little place fenced off for the deer. We've killed the weeds in it. It's ready to go. And I keep telling people, even if you live in the valley, come up and plant something. If you're a member of our church, plant something. Lou and I and Stacy will water it. You just tell us your watering schedule. We'll laminate it. We'll put it on a stake on your little family plot, and we'll water it. You come up when you can. And all we ask in trade for that is some tomatoes, some heads of lettuce when you harvest it. Now, I'm not saying you have to come up and do a total survival garden, but start practicing up here on our nickel. Just bring it up here, and we got to start getting our hands dirty, people. Seeds, I think. I was talking about currency in the first half hour and almost the whole last hour. Currency can be seeds. And you guys all know what kind of seeds to get. Don't go buy the Monsanto, Terminator, Frankenstein seeds. You got to buy the seeds that will regerminate, pollinate. I don't even know the terminology. I'm not an expert on this.
Heirloom
seeds. Thanks. See, Lou's an expert. He's doing all the reading. His homeschool consists of basically learning how to survive the collapse. I'm done. You know, he studies history and all that kind of stuff, but I'm done with the ABCs and the 1-2-3s with him. We do enough that we use math every day. You know, he gets paid. He has to know math, that kind of stuff. I could care less. But he's learning he's picking up this stuff so he can teach it to his kids if he can ever find a woman crazy enough to settle down with him.
Yeah,
I should have said a woman good enough for mom. She just, because he's, you know, he's 15 now. He's having to shave. Somebody just mentioned the other day, hey, he doesn't look like a little boy anymore. He's turned into a man. She's like, don't say that. He's my little baby. Moms are funny. She's over there cringing right now. So if you get yourself a 15 or 16-year-old daughter you need marrying off, maybe we can do some trading out there. Send me a picture of your cows or whatever you want to trade, and we could work out an arranged marriage for Lou here. What, Stace?
Hey.
It's a form of barter. Don't think of it as losing a son. Think of it as getting a tractor or something. Maybe a horse or something. We could use mules we trade for Lou.
No?
See, moms are funny, aren't they?
Aren't they?
You should see her cringe when I'm punching Lou in the throat, training him to thicken up his trachea muscles.
He can't thicken up.
Whoa! Got you again. But anyway, this is the grace period, folks. I know I'm not offering you anything you haven't heard before, but what I'm trying to do is be your cheerleader here today. If you've got some great ideas, email them to me at dutch@dutchjones.info, D-U-T-C-H, the little at symbol, dutchjones.info. I'll share them on the air. We'll put them on the website. We've got people last year were sending us like how long foods last. It's time to bring that stuff back up. Shelf life. But you can't store enough food to live the rest of your life. Odds are you're going to live a few years. You store 5 years worth of food, you get past that, stuff starts going bad before you get to it. Sorry, but that's the experience I've seen. So you store enough food so that you can create the economy so that you can produce your own food. We get a cow, we get some goats. My brother, I hope you're listening, I didn't see if he was in there, in Colorado is doing goats, making cheese, raising chickens, and he lives outside the town we grew up in, between two towns we grew up in, and he's only got a few acres of land, a barn, and he's doing it. He's not in the city. And he's like me. He's not making any money. He's broke. But he's looking at buying land in Colorado. And land in Colorado, I couldn't believe it. He sold like an acre and a half for like $3,000. We'll never be able to buy land up here. Thank God I found this church. Thank God I've been called to be a worker here on this church property. Because it affords me, I've got 20 acres, well, that's about 10 acres that are attached behind my house. I can't work it alone. But if we get another Christian family in here and we get a plow, we attach it to Lewis and we plow that whole field down there, I don't know how much, I mean, I really don't know how much 10 acres would produce in food. Or is it better to put that for grazing for a couple animals? We've got wildlife, but I can honestly tell you that there's so many people up here that their entire survival plan is to eat all the turkeys and all the deer immediately. Even the hippies are thinking about it from what I've been hearing. So the wild animals are just going to go up higher. So we'll have hunting parties that go out and things like that. We'll, you know, take over the marijuana fields, you know, take out the MS-13 guys guarding it. But that's not going to be a good strategy. Somebody last year supposedly up here has killed over 30 bears. If they can kill 30 bears, that means that there's probably 300 that they couldn't get to in higher elevation, because we're between 1 and 3,000 feet here in this community. It was in the paper they killed like 25 bears, and they're trying to catch the guy. Because bears are a nuisance here. They break into your houses. They do all kinds. They're dangerous. I really don't have a problem with them shooting nuisance bears, to be honest with you. The pigs, the wild pigs, but those are going to disappear rapidly when you have... We have 6,000 people up here, is what they say the population of these two communities are. Ours is what, 428 or something weird? How many people do we have in Cahuilla? What's it say on the sign?
416 or something.
480-something. And they said it actually went down, so we don't have that many people. So, and like General Carver saying, we'll produce food. That'll bring in some wildlife, honestly. That's going to bring in the deer, so we need teams to shoot the deer, and we'll eat the deer. But we need people to take care of the plants, make sure they're watered, kill the gophers. We're going to have gopher killing contests, and that's one of our plans. The children will be in charge of killing gophers. And every month, whoever gets the most gophers will get some kind of prize. And Stacy, have you had gopher? Have you eaten gopher? Did you say you cooked?
No.
You've cooked what? What vermin have you cooked?
Groundhog.
Groundhog. Gophers, I'm willing to see if they're worth eating.
All the tasty coyotes.
Oh yeah, we have all the tasty coyotes too. I've eaten coyote down in New Mexico. It's not that great. We got rattlesnakes all over the place. So we'll set up teams to hunt these things, trap these things. And maybe domesticate some of these things. We can domesticate deer. Why not? We can domesticate the wild boar, like I said. But we have to have plans ahead of time. We can't all just, I'm hungry. What do you want to do? Let's see. Using the land for growing food will produce more food than using it as a grazing ground. And I like that point, General Carver, because you also have to wait for it to grow. Knowing when to grow it. Like we were told, we have to grow our corn in tiers. People go, what do you want to eat corn? Oh, I love corn on the cob. So you have to grow it, space it, so that it doesn't all come ripe at one time. But we may have, we got a 10-acre patch down there that I'm looking at. We'll be self-watering off of streams and ditches that we can produce, because the water flows year-round here unless some catastrophic environmental thing happens. If we grow a whole thing of corn in one area, we can grind it up. We've got mills. We've got grinders. We've got all kinds of stuff. One of the sections is like a wetland right now. I want to plant bamboo down there. There's all kinds of uses for bamboo. But we need someone who is a farmer, someone who is a rancher to give us advice. Now, the ranchers that work up the road, the foreman and stuff on the ranch, I mean, it's a real working cowboy ranch. They'll give us advice. We've got a couple guys. Steve is a farrier. I got to be careful how I say that, because if I say it wrong, he'll come over and punch me in the face. He's a farrier. He puts shoes on horses. We've got Mike, who listens sometimes, but he doesn't sign in. He may be listening now. He knows how to take care of mules and horses. Well, that's good. We have the beasts of burden, but we need people that know how to. I can raise rabbits. I raised rabbits as a kid, and I'm sure it'll click in. I stopped when I was 12 because we moved into a trailer park and couldn't bring my 300 rabbits with us. I used to have 300 to 500 rabbits, and just I filled up this whole barn with rabbits, and we'd sell them to all the neighbors for, like, I think, $2 a piece. You know, you get 2 or 3 rabbits, you could feed a family. So, you know, this was back during the Depression of the 70s. I remember that. My dad used to trade our rabbit meat for gasoline in town. We had one gas station in Peckham, Colorado, those of you that know the area. I don't even know if the gas station's still there. They had one, I think they had two pumps, one diesel, one unleaded fuel. is for the farmers. It was a Quonset hut. My dad would trade rabbit meat for fuel and pig meat. He raised the pigs. I tried helping him with the pigs, but quite honestly, I was too small, and they just pushed me around. So that was the deal on that. So I want you people to get this into your heads. Those of you right now, there's guys sitting, you know, on a ranch somewhere laughing at me because they're like, "Hey, I've been doing this for 20 years. You know, 40 years ago, you know, I bought this place." That's great. It's time for you to share your knowledge. Time for you to post in the forum. We have a forum. Nobody's using it anymore. And we've got 22 people in here, actually more than that, 24 people in the chat room, 23 people, and then all the other people listening on all the other outlets, you pod people. You need to start sharing this knowledge. I can't do it all. The burden's too great for me, and for I don't know what I'm talking about half the time on some of this stuff. I bring it up hoping I will generate communication. Okay, I see Freedom is saying amaranth should be easiest to grow in your area. It's highly productive grain that grows like a weed. See, I just learned something right there. We were talking earlier because we've got two or three mills. We have a hand mill. We have a mill that hooks to a bicycle for Lou to run. Lou's going to be busy. He's going to be generating electricity for the shortwave stations and the ham radios, the computers, the drive-in theater that we're going to operate on Saturday nights for the community to come and you know, give us two onions and come watch a movie. He's going to be a busy boy, busy young man. What do you think about that? I'll feed you. He's just grinning at me. That's creepier than saying anything. He's just grinning at me. But yeah, we've got the mechanisms. We need the people. And of the 200 people that show up for conference every year, I'm going to say half of them have the ability to get here. Our folks are getting older. God bless them. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't take care of them because they carried the burden for decades here at the church. I'm coming to the date to the dance late. Scotty's saying he knows how to tan hides and weld. That's another thing. Yeah, I forgot about that. I used to tan rabbit hides as a kid, and I learned to weld. I went to a community college, and I ended up getting a job as a drainage pipe welder. So that's a good point there. Let's see. Batfag saying, please pray for pal Jeff. He's having a very difficult time and asked me to pray for him. Okay, guys. First and foremost, we're ministry. Batfag has a friend named Jeff. We don't know what the problem is. Don't need to because God knows. Excuse me. Remember, folks, we have to pray for our brothers and sisters out there and those that we don't even know. So just put it on your heart and pray for Jeff tonight, for Batfag. Thank you, Batfag, for telling us about that. Man, I'm coughing. Yeah, let's lift up Jeff in all of his trials and problems, and that the Lord may hold and protect him and guide him, and look to Batfag for guidance and help in these times. Amen. I'm going to need water. Can you take Lou? I need you to get that cup and get me some water. I'm not going to be able to finish this. I think I swallowed a bug. So don't just be depending upon your things. That was another thing that we teach here. Don't trust in chariots and horses. Definitely don't trust in chariots and horses. You know, trust in the Lord, but also make preparations. You've got the spiritual and the physical together. Lord's going to help you out, but your most important survival tool that we always teach up here is your brain and your attitude. Be willing to work with people. Be willing to not always want to be the guy in front. That's one of my biggest problems because I'm so over the top and so ridiculously gabby, for lack of a better word. I always end up being the guy that has to take charge of things. The pastor has to take charge. Like, I was watching him with his team yesterday when we were doing the triage training, head-to-toe assessment. Certain people were taking the lead, and that's okay. Leaders will rise up. We've talked about that before. They'll if you have three people in a room, one of them is going to end up being the leader unless they're all retarded or something, or complete introverts. But I don't want to be a leader. I'm a facilitator. I don't want everybody coming to me and saying, "Oh, look, I have an injury. You taught me how to do this, but I forgot. You fixed my injury." No, you should have trained your wife to do it. I tell everybody that. I said, once you've completed a training with me, you're now a disciple of mine. You're now an outlet of knowledge. Take this manual. We handed out the great big survival manuals yesterday that we have here at the church. And I said, I'll give one to every head of household that is not a member of our church. Because, like I said, we had people from Visalia showing up and all over the place. I said, I will give you a manual and one backpack and one helmet to guide you. You've got to do the rest. You've got to go train your wife, buy the equipment yourself. If you remember the church, everybody in the church, because I'm trying to train, like a special forces thing, everybody I'm trying to train to be a leader. Lou, I want to be a leader. I want to be able to take Lou and send him off with two refugees that show up and get him set up. So remember that. And I guess it took a long way around it to come to that. We're supposed to be like special forces, those of us that are in the know, those of us that are like-minded, because there's a bunch of people out there that God may ask us to save. There's several we're going to turn away, just like the bridesmaids and the virgins in the oil. Guys, go look that up. Google virgins in the oil parable. But there's some that we're going to need to help, especially family members. I know a lot of you folks send me emails that the hardest people to reach are the family members. Hardest people to reach are the family members. My brother took years, and he's coming around now. I'm really happy about that. I'm glad you're listening to the show, Dan. I'm glad you're preparing your family. Now let me tell you about why I'm where I'm at. It's Jesus Christ. The only reason I am where I am today is Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with me. There is no king but King Jesus, and I will serve no man. I bow for no man. I fear nothing but Jesus Christ and the judgment of God. And that's what it's all about. The sword is heavy. The battle is hard. The victory is the Lord's alone. But the cool thing is he asks us to participate. You've got to stand in the gap. A clarion call is going out now. If you don't know what that is, look it up. You need to know. Get into the gospel. I don't care if you're Lutheran, Methodist, whatever. You don't have to be like us. But you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to admit you're a sinner and that you can do nothing alone. You cannot rely on your own abilities. You cannot rely upon chariots or horses, generators or MREs. Put your trust in God, Jesus Christ alone, and start from there. Make your baby steps. You don't have to be as advanced as everybody on Liberty Tree Radio. Lord knows I'm not. You don't have to be as advanced as we are here at Camp Kuia. But you have to make that first step in the right direction.